The Swiss performance troupe Mummenschanz is beginning a 3-week run at NYU Skirball Center tonight. It's the first time they've been in New York since 2003, and their current program is a retrospective of some of their favorite routines. I'm very pleased to welcome two of the founding members of Mummenschanz, Bernie Church and Floriana Frassetto, to our show today. Hello. Yeah.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Floriana, when was Mummenschanz originally formed?
Mummenschanz was formed in the 70s in Paris between Andrés Bossard and Bernie Schürch, or Church, as you wish.
Well, I asked him how to pronounce his name, and he said Church. So
right,
I'm
right.
Ready to say Schürch.
Sure. See, I told you he could sure. say it.
Of course.
Okay. Excellent.
And then I joined them in 71. And from Rome, Italy, I crossed the mountains and then I couldn't find my way back. And here I was stuck in this clay game that they did, this wonderful, spectacular clay duo. And then we took out all the spoken acts and we came to the States and we were Taboom, our first major smash hit success. And ever since, we've been loyal and in love with the North American audience.
Well, Bernie, yeah. As Floriana says, you took out the words, but you don't want to be called a mime troupe. What was your concept from the start?
Actually, the basic concept was to change the stage from a didactic place into a playground. We wanted the audience to feel as attracted as to come on stage, not physically, but mentally. Join our toys, join our characters, our shapes, and fulfill their imaginations around and have enough space around it to bring in their own fantasies and their own imaginations.
I've seen Mummenschanz translated as masquerade. Is that an accurate translation?
Yes, yes. You can say masquerade because we are definitely using masks. But in a larger sense of the word, we don't only put the masks in front of the face. We also put the whole body inside the costume. And these are also masks.
Or outside a costume. There is one sketch, I hope you make it to see the show, in which Bernie is holding a very synthetic material, which looks like a white sheet of paper. And he's just bending it in the right rhythm, in this silent music that we operate. He's making all these different faces and grimaces, and everyone catches on, from Tehran to New York to San Francisco to El Bimbo. It's fantastic.
Now you say silent music. So do you all decide on the silent music before you begin performing,
or is this the audience that decides?
Uh-huh, I see. Bernie, you started with Andres,
yes.
who's also Swiss, yep. No longer with us, yeah. And then Floriana, who's Italian American. When you began working together, were you each bringing different ideas to the table?
I think so. Yes, we all had like a particular background, each of us, but we had this common goal of going out there on stage and playing about it and tickling the audiences. Get this kind of a clown or fanciullo in Italian. Bring it out and relax and forget your daily problems and have fun playing.
I think we came from three different childhoods, but all of them difficult.
But all studied acting?
And we all wanted to continue playing in our grown-up days. All studied acting, yes. Andres and Bernie did Le Coq, and I studied mime in an acting school in Rome. But I think the more relevant was where we came from, our cultural differences. Of course, Switzerland has a great mask carnival, which is the most beautiful in the world, if you ask me. I think this cultural mix and this poverty we had nothing, you know. And with practically next to nothing, we had to do something. And we wanted to change the world, of course, like most youngsters want to. And we came from 68, so, you know, we wanted to do relevant changes.
Well, you do use common objects like rolls of toilet paper, wires, tubes, cardboard boxes. Is that how the ideas – you have a roll of toilet paper or the cardboard inside, and suddenly an idea for a skit arises out of just playing with it?
Yes, quite. We do.
I mean, all I ever do is put it up to my mouth, go doo, 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 doo.
Right. We would maybe rip it apart and stick it to our head, or walk around garbage heaps and discover interesting materials which we could turn around and give it a poetic aspect. Because we have said we will use the mask as our media to convey our messages. We were very much looking out for materials, new materials, materials that the society throws away, that go into the garbage. We liked to pull them out again from the heaps and shape them and construct different faces and characters out of them.
Well, Floriana, I mentioned earlier that you don't call yourselves a mime troupe, but you said you did study mime, so you must bring some of that sensibility to what you're doing.
Definitely.
Although you're wearing masks and you're not just doing white faces.
We are bringing very personal sensibility that comes from a series of things. We're also very much in admiration of painting and sculpture and the plastic arts, you know. So, I mean, I think it's an accumulation, what we bring. I mean, sometimes when we are in front of these amorph materials, you know, it's like a sculpture being in front of a rock. You know, you're trying to study where you can cut, where you can sew, how you can shape, you know, and then finally you put it on, you start improvising, and then the miracle occurs and it communicates an emotion and it communicates the beauty and it communicates the evil. It communicates, you know.
At the beginning, was it just the three of you?
Yes. From 72, when we founded Moment Chance, we found this awkward word for our company. It was the three of us.
And at first, were you mainly performing at theater festivals, or were you working nightclubs? And
we were performing everywhere, you know, in streets, in squares, on cruising boats, in different galas, and also in theaters. Of course, our intention was to finally end up on a normal stage.
And you wound up running 3 years on Broadway,
right.
That must come as a surprise. I'm sure you thought that you'd have a nice decent run. 3 years is a bit long.
That's exactly what you said.
Well, it started 4 weeks and it was empty. And then the New York experience, right? Taboom, from one day to the other, it started selling out.
Word of mouth is what it's
called. Word of mouth, yes. And that's what Moment Chance is about, word of mouth. For a mime show or for a silent show, right?
And then you started appearing on TV shows, Sesame Street, The Muppet Show, but also Northern Exposure.
Yes.
So was that a breakthrough in terms of raising your profile?
That was, I think, Johnny Carson was even more a breakthrough for us because he called us back two or three times. We were almost becoming friends with the Tonight Show people because we became a familiar. And I think in terms of television appearances was a big breakthrough, almost as strong as the Muppets.
Well, he was had an incredible eye for things that were out of the ordinary, but that would be wonderful for his audience. He didn't always play it safe.
Genuine, his reaction.
Brilliant.
I never forget his reaction.
When Andres passed away in 1992, did you think of disbanding, or were you going to continue as a duo?
We were discussing until the last moment around Andres's bed a new sketch. You know, and he kept saying, promise me you go on, you know. And so, and we wanted to go on. It was not only the promise, but it was also therapeutical for us, you know, to bring it forth. It was, of course, difficult all of a sudden to be only the two of us. But, we found some new things that were different, but also very playful. And so we were happy.
And then you found other members.
We did. We then decided we would invite some colleagues of ours to bring in some new ideas and new streams, new energies. And we ended up by having two more people with us. Today it's Raffaella Mattioli and Pietro Montandon.
I'm talking to two of the founding members of Moment Chance, Bernie Schuch and Floriana Frasetto, and they are beginning, is it tomorrow?
Today.
Today,
yes.
A three-week run at NYU Skirball Center. Since you say you find a lot of stuff that inspires you, New York City must be a great place to perform, because there's all sorts of stuff on the street.
It
embarrasses me sometimes, but it must be wonderful for you.
It's wonderful. It's really one kind of a case of stuff in this town.
Do you make all of the props yourselves?
Yes. Yes. Yep. It's difficult to go to someone who is a professional seamstress and say, could you sew this plastic face for me? No, not on my machine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we do everything ourselves, because it's so connected with our imagery, what we imagine to want to bring forth on stage.
Well, you're usually wearing masks, sometimes encased in costumes that involve many yards of fabric, and I wonder if you can always see out of what you're wearing.
Very often not.
That's a good question.
So you're working blind?
You learn as a blind person to move within the space, with the perimeters are more or less always the same. You just have to be careful not to fall off the stage, which has also occurred a couple of times.
So you must have some director or somebody who's helping you stay on the stage.
Well, we actually watch each other. That's the direction we have. We don't have a director outside sitting, but we are among ourselves. We exchange position. We take turns. We look at each other. We say how it looks. And we tell the acting person what kind of movements were really interesting to keep. And then the hard task is to repeat an improvisation.
Because you don't want it to be the same every night?
Exactly. We will always be different every night.
Well,
like performing music also, when you play...
So this kind of like jazz performance?
Very much,
exactly.
Yes. It's improvised.
Exactly.
It's improvised according to how much the audience is there.
Because the mixture is different. You know, sometimes you have more children commenting, or just a different, more youngsters, more teenagers, more university students. And of course, the reactions, the quickness of the reactions are going to be different every night.
But there's another side to that. Jazz musicians will tell you that some nights they're more on than other nights.
Also.
And the performance will be better.
Definitely, yeah. Yes.
You get off some nights and say, I don't know, what went wrong tonight?
Right, yes, quite.
Well, I don't want to go on those nights, of course.
No, of course.
Many of your skits are visual puns that illustrate human interactions, like an electrical plug and socket that mimics a kiss. But your performances are definitely child-friendly.
They are.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
Do some of these pieces operate on more than one level?
Yes.
Can go as deep as you would like to, you know. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, there are some things that are maybe just a slight touch of black humor, like when the opera singer kills herself and puts this plastic knife within her and then, you know, the guts kind of flow out. The children are the first ones to laugh. Mm. You know, the parents are there. Oh, my child shouldn't see this. Oh, come on. Children love this kind of thing, you know. So it's very friendly. It's very clean. It's a very clean show.
Are you still based in Switzerland?
Yes.
Do you have a theater there?
No, we don't. But we have a studio where we can maintain all our masks and costume and rehearse.
How many months a year are you typically on tour?
It's about 6 months out of the year in an average.
And you say that it doesn't matter where you go, people respond. I'm sure they don't respond exactly the same, but whether you're in Japan or Zimbabwe or Paris or New York.
In September, we were in Iran, in Tehran. And there was a lot of back and forth. And, of course, they wanted to see the show on DVD, which they did. And then we got there and we had to deal with the authorities for them to decide what we could and not we couldn't do in the show.
So,
for
instance,
the plugs that you were mentioning earlier, that kiss, soi-disant, they didn't appreciate it. So we said, okay, we'll take it out, you know. And then, of course, they said if I could wear a larger T-shirt so that my elderly sinuous shapes, which don't disturb anybody, right, but them, yes. And we said, no problem. So the two ladies wore a larger T-shirt. But it was so intense. They read so much between the lines because, as we were discussing before, you can read a lot between the lines and go very far into depth with it. And at the end, the applause was such, so strong that we started crying. I mean, the emotions, the interchange of the emotions was incredible.
We do not speak Farsi or we do not speak Chinese.
But you do speak Farsi.
But we speak Mumenschanz, and this is a language everybody can understand.
Now, you haven't been in New York since 2003. That's a long time. Have we been keeping you away?
No, but...
Did we get bored when you were on for 3 years?
We have been traveling a lot in other continents like South America, South Africa,
China,
and Asia a lot. We started to do a lot of work in Asia.
It's billed as a retrospective of works from the past 30-plus years. So what does that mean, since things change every night? If somebody had seen one of the pieces 30 years ago, would they even recognize it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They will certainly recognize here and there pieces that haven't changed in the way they look, the way they are performed. Yes, that might be different, but the way they look, they haven't changed.
In a few years, you'll be reaching your 40th anniversary.
Next year.
Are you training younger artists to join the troupe?
No way.
You want to keep on doing this yourself?
Absolutely. It's until it's fun, why should I pass it on?
But in other situations, people will then allow different troupes to perform the same kinds of works. Have you been approached?
We like to stay a small troupe, which does everything with their hands themselves. We are artisans of the spirit and of the imagination, and that's the way we would like to keep. You know, we admire Cirque du Soleil and all the great companies, dance companies that there are. We'd like to stay a little precious pearl.
Although when you see something like Cirque du Soleil, don't you think, gee, they must have been watching Mumenschanz at one time or another?
Somehow, it's always nice to see other groups being inspired, even if they look a little bit like Mumenschanz. I don't mind, personally. When they are inspired, it's fine. And Cirque du Soleil is another caliber than Mumenschanz.
Well, you're not doing contortion acts and...
Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yeah, it's pretty contortionist what we do. Still at our age.
But you see, we are a minimalist art form. That's what we are, truly said. You know, you see one shape and you have to concentrate and then you can see it your way, your wife will see it another way, etc. So this is what we are working on. Cirque du Soleil is the quantity, the strength, the taboom. It's big showtime. Wow. It's a different concept.
And they have an orchestra and you don't.
Yeah. Yes,
I know sometimes you hold mask-making workshops in conjunction with your performances. Will there be any of those here in New York?
We're working on it. Supplies. Last-minute
supplies.
Well,
people bring your own
absolutely.
Found objects.
Yes,
and see what
could be. No. That would take a little bit longer. We have jerry cans, and some material, scrap materials, for which we guide them through a creative process and then an improvisation process. So it's more or less everyone the same objects.
The title of the show is just Mumenschanz.
Right.
Because you want to give a sense that this is the full scope of things that you've been doing.
You know, we are more like a repertory company. We have been doing one show after another, but all together we piled up a repertory. And this show that we bring to Skirball is the best of it.
And the engagement runs from tonight through January 8th at NYU Skirball Center at 566 LaGuardia Place. My great thanks to Bernie Church and also Floriana Frassetto for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Fun. Thanks.